Well, hey, everybody. Welcome. This is Dave. I want to just begin with first a welcome back to our MentorPath family reunion. I want to especially welcome those who are attending for the first time since completing training recently, and to those who've just begun online training for New Life Story Wellness Coaches, New Money Story Mentors. Welcome to you, the first live exchange with our group. You know, and I've mentioned in emails, we do wins, successes, and progress notes to celebrate our accomplishments, which also serves to inspire others to think about new ways and new things to do and to see what works. I've heard from a number of you, both live and follow-up, that hearing best practices and successes of others inspires some new ideas and applications for your own services or products. I want to say a couple of things before we initiate that process. So be thinking about wins, successes that you would like to share, as well as challenges or questions you'd like to bring to our group for a mastermind format to address from different perspectives. I'll be very brief, even though, as you know, that's not my major aspiration in life, brevity. I mentioned some time ago that I hired a consultant to look at our group structure to offer any ideas to better shape and catalyze the process and its potential benefits to each of you. The first thing he did was look at our group and compare it to other groups that do training and specialty application of that training. What he found then was that we have the highest rate of any of the groups and organizations that he surveyed of people who maintain an active affiliation and, where it's applicable, a license to apply that specialty training. Not too long ago, I revisited this with him, my consultant, Tom Scott, and he indicated in a review the same findings still apply. He, like Simon Sinek, studies high-performing organizations and found some common resemblances of those cultures. People in the organization feel safe among others and each other, work together to achieve things, and believe powerfully in what they do. So no matter how fiercely independent we each are, we at the same time, not paradoxically, need to have a feeling we belong. That's our nature, our core, and we're biologically designed to find comfort when we feel like we belong in a group. I believe, as you well know, in our proven system of understanding and changing human behavior. I really appreciate your feedback and suggestions, your input, along with rapidly evolving research in the mind and brain sciences, improves our system. You've heard me repeatedly say that when you want to successfully create something new or simply just change, focus on creating a system rather than just on the goal. A goal is necessary, but a system is the process and the map of getting there. For example, a microsystem is the neural conditioning chart. A macrosystem is the roadmap. Both address deconstructing the algorithms, the patterns of attachment, behavior, and emotion we use to generate various stories and how to change any component. I particularly appreciate your feedback and suggestions, and I believe in each of you. I did at the beginning to accept you into the training, learned about each of your abilities and desires, and you've lived into that belief, and I congratulate you on your significant accomplishments and achievements and sharing them with me and today us. And one more thing, again, briefly and redundantly from me, belief is transformative. It's what makes exceptional athletes, artists, executives, and professional coaches. Belief is a proven, powerful force. You've also heard me say, we now know from neuroscience, an authentic belief in someone activates their brain to create a state of mind that transcends usual thinking and performance. Now, we've known this intuitively for centuries about how believing in our children is the best way to help them believe in themselves. In fact, probably the only way. Same with our experience as professional coaches. It's why I only work with clients in mentor coaching in whom I believe and only train coaches in whom I believe. When we're surrounded by others who believe, this community, our community, enhances our mission, its importance, and the possibility of success for our clients and ourselves. And I totally believe in our community. And I really mean this, and you know I do, when I say, let me know how and what I can do to help your success. Let me know how we can communicate better. Let me know what you need. And think about what would best support your practice and your work with clients. So, let me hear from you. Wins, progress notes, just check-ins. I'm eager to catch up and resume our reunion. And thank you for bearing with me for that not-so-brief action. After all, introduction. What you got? If you say your name and where you are, and we'll be able to see you on the registry. Who's here?
Hey, Dave. It's Kristen from Colorado Springs.
Welcome. Hey, Kristen. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Doing well. Still working on my coaching business and still doing hair at the same time. So it's been it was a challenge at the beginning, but I've rolled into a pretty good routine. It's been quite interesting with the coaching when I get towards the end of the program and they're doing really good. And it's like, they're like, I can do this. I've got this. And then, and the more the type A personality, you know, we want it fixed yesterday. They start to slide down that slippery slide again and I'll get an email and it's like, I don't know what happened. Everything was going great. And it's like, okay. Well, one of the things we all need to work on is a little bit of patience, and sometimes it takes time, and they're like, oh, that's right. that special key word that I always forget about, patience. And it's like, yes, it takes patience. So just getting them pulled back up that road, it's been very interesting to see, you know, how that small little bit of lack of patience of wanting things fixed yesterday can really start to pull them back down in the hole and reminding them of that. So that's been probably one of the biggest things that I've noticed.
Great. And you have, right, in the context of helping them with patience, helping them also look at what's next. And that's
absolutely
what you typically offer.
Now, yeah,
as
looking
a footnote,
at what,
Kristen, you know, this is the only political comment I'll ever make. I notice occasionally in the political news, people who could use a combination of your services, I've seen people who significantly need hair coaching.
Yes.
Thank you for checking in. I appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Who else?
Hi, Dave. This is Naomi Jones.
Hey,
from New York.
You?
I am good.
I'm good. How's the medical world these days and of coaching?
Yeah. Well, the coaching, I'm getting ready to start a new, just small program I'm doing related to the upcoming book, which I had talked to you about. I wanted to, you know, be able to get some feedback where I'm just kind of, it's the title of the book is Check Your Chicken, How to Stop a Self-Defeating Mindset. And so I'm getting ready to try to just put that together just to do a little 4-week little thing to hopefully lead them into more long-term coaching.
Okay. When you're ready to launch, would you send me a link and I'll send it around to everyone? And this is to everyone also. Whenever you have a new product or service or program, send me a link and I'll fire it off to our group and do it collectively, if you can get that to me in the next couple of days.
That would be wonderful. Yes,
Naomi,
I will.
I want to come back in a few minutes. It sounds like you have a question of a challenge for the group that you'd like to get some feedback, kind of in a mastermind context about your program. Did I hear you right?
That would be
okay.
Great.
All right, we'll come back. Okay, super.
Okay.
Let's do some other check-ins. And we'll come back to that. And I'll reserve some time for each of you who want to bring questions or challenges to our group and get a collective group wisdom of that. So thanks, Naomi. Super.
Okay.
Yeah. Who else? wins, progress notes, check-ins. Just let us know you're here.
Check it in. Hi, everybody. It's Geraldine, Jerry Brown, Jim Blanco.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. So actually, the last time we spoke, which was, I think I mentioned that my book was going to be published sooner, but of course, I'm sure you could attest to this as well. It took me longer than expected. I'm sorry?
No, I'm chuckling because, yes, I'm much longer than expected. This is Naomi.
What's the title of your book, Jerry?
It's called Geraldina and the Compass Rose, and it's a memoir. And I'm self-publishing through Ingram Spark, but I took your advice. We will be pre-ordering. I see that you did that the same, and we'll be ordering your book. So congratulations to you, Dave. I'm really excited for you.
Thanks. Yours sounds exciting. What's the schedule for it?
So right now, on the 15th, it'll be completely ready to be uploaded. My book designer has it, formatting it, and we're doing the final proofreading. But all the edits, oh, my God, millions of edits have been done. So that's all done. And so we're looking to start pre-selling on the 15th and launching on the June 1st, it should be. We really wanted it to be May 1st, but it just didn't happen.
Super. I'm thinking I'll send it around to everybody. And, you know, I don't call them edits. I call them amputations because they're that painful. It seems easy to anybody else except.
Well, and, you know, it has everything to do with all that we've learned through the power of our, you know, the neuroscience in our brain. It seems that my subconscious mind, as I'm sleeping, is working. And when I wake up, I know exactly where to go to find the thing that I feel is lacking or missing or I want to accentuate. And we make the edit, and I feel so much better about it. And so I'm glad that I've exhausted the process because it's really worked for me. Because you know what? I was sitting with a bunch of women, and I'll tell you, this is my litmus test, like knowing when I'm ready. In memoir, you
may I interrupt you for a second? There's some background noise. If you're either walking around with a headset or making any kind of movement where you're sitting, would you please mute because your microphone picks it up and we all hear it, but you don't. So, and remember to unmute *6 again when you're ready to talk. Go ahead, Jerry. Sorry to interrupt you.
Thank you. Thank you for that. No, what I was saying was that I just actually lost my train of thought.
You're launching June 1st, and you have Nighttime Language that does writing and editing to go along with the date.
Oh, okay, yes, thank you very much. So how I knew that, you know, my test of knowing whether I'm ready to move forward is I was having lunch with a bunch of women in a women's group, a Women in Business, our chambers that support women in business here, and so we have guest speakers, and I had spoken last year to the group, so they're all anticipating the book. But, you know, when we were talking, they're like, Jerry, when's your book ready? You know, I wish you had it now. I'd buy a copy, you know, and I thought, gee, I wasn't ready to hand it over yet. That was how I knew there was more work to be done the last time we spoke, because I wasn't ready to hand it over, but now I am. So I'm very excited by that, And we'll see where this goes. But in the meantime, I gained 2 more clients. I think just from the confidence of being done with with the book, the energy is already attracting new business. So that's what my hope is.
That's a great progress note. And when all of you is going in the same direction, there's no stopping you. I want to highlight one thing you mentioned about your women's group, because that group sounds like there's a collective energy field and that they will be very useful for you in giving you feedback. Here's a totally different kind of illustration of an energy field. A Jungian analyst who I know and heard her present on this, Tess Castleman, describes in her book Threads and Tapestries about groups of women she's had in group therapy, and she noticed a phenomenon that she didn't talk about until it had replicated itself many, many times. She noticed that as the women's group, like between 6 and 9 people, we come together and become cohesive after a period of time without anybody talking about it or even noticing it. They all began to dress in the same color hue, and it was a different color hue each group. So it wasn't like they had an outfit for group therapy, but she noticed this over time with different groups, and it manifests in a remarkable way that there's something that's totally unspoken and unconscious that happens when there's a connection with other people, and it can grow and be useful, and especially, as you've mentioned, you become consciously aware of it, just like you do of the nighttime communication. So those are great illustrations of entering a creative state of mind. So super. And thanks for sharing that. That's great.
Thank you. Thank you.
Who else?
Hi, Dave. This is Erica Pembroke. And
hey, how are you?
I'm very well. How are you doing?
Super.
So I've had some transitions, some breakthroughs over the time that we've spoken last. I'm from Salt Lake City, and I've been doing the weight loss and fitness in that realm. And I have since given notice, and actually my last client with them was this last week, and I have kind of transitioned into private practice, and I'm also in the process of writing a book and also trying to create an online program to kind of go along with the book once it comes out. I'm in the very early stages, but it's dealing with midlife and troubled marriages and helping women to revitalize their sensuality within that context.
That's outstanding. Thank you for mentioning that. Are you going to have any live component before, during, or after the online course? Or how do you?
I think all of the above.
Okay.
All of the above. You know, and what I realize, with my other program, you know, I have mainly one-on-one coaching and have done a little bit of small groups, but realize the efficacy and the importance, and I guess really just financially where the group coaching lends itself over. I mean, one-on-one I think is very important, but I'm realizing the importance of, you know, expanding that out and creating some group coaching. I'm actually doing a women's retreat in Mexico in August, and I have sold out, and it's going to be my inaugural retreat, so I'm super excited. Like, everything's just kind of starting to come and flow, so it's really great to have this energy finally.
That's terrific, and especially for women or for groups who would find a benefit in sharing with others, looking at things and developing a kind of group wisdom and getting feedback from others. Groups are totally ideal for people who don't want or need the confidentiality of individual issues that they need to deal with in mentor coaching, but some people in some situations, and you've lit on both, really do very well in group coaching and can offer significant benefits all the way around. And the retreat, the destination retreat's a great idea. Where in Mexico, and is it a retreat center, or are you making this up as you go along?
This is in a place called San Miguel de Allende, which is high desert.
Yeah.
You're familiar with it. So I've been going there for about the last 15 years, and it's just a very spiritual, magical place. So we're renting a large home, and I'm doing 8 people, so a pretty good intimate group, and it has already been filled, and we'll start at the end of August, and for a full week we'll have a whole set of coaching and guided meditations and just a lot of good information along with the culture and all of that San Miguel brings.
Yeah, super. You know, I have a buddy who's been doing women's retreats for a long time now, and she does a much larger group, but it's an ongoing twice-a-year retreat, and most of the people sign up and get on a waiting list to continue. There may be some information on her website that might be helpful for you to look at and see if there's anything that might be of any use to her. To you, her name is Jeanine Roth, G-E-N-E-E-N Roth, R-O-T-H.
Yes, she did. She write the book, Women, Food, and God. Women, God, and Food.
Yes, that was a New York Times number one bestseller.
Yes.
As some
okay.
other books are. And more recently, a book on money, about being a Madoff victim, called, I'll think of it in a minute. It's a terrific book. I'll think of it in a minute.
Sure, but thank you very much. I'll definitely take
yeah,
a look at her site. That's wonderful.
Just,
thank you.
It's just JeanineRoth.com. So there may be some
Perfect.
Ideas that she may have.
That's wonderful. Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah,
well,
just the energy feels great.
Yeah, the book is called Lost and Found. It's
okay,
her,
Lost
it's
and Found.
It's a story of being a Madoff victim. And, I mean,
wow.
one of the best writers I know and is a, you know, has been a buddy for some time. So, yeah, thanks
that's
for that.
Wonderful.
That's
wonderful. Thank you. Appreciate that. Thank you.
In terms of online, is Emily on the line? Emily is hatching an idea in a very similar way about an online course and groups for women cancer survivors, and wants to include a component about their money story. So we've just begun to think about that. So who else? Hey, great news, guys. That's really inspiring. And if any of you want to ask questions to anybody who has these ideas, go for it. But what else? Who else has got something for us?
Hi, Dave. This is Randy Cook calling from Eclectic, Alabama.
How are you, Randy? Welcome. Welcome.
I'm well, thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to be here. And
give us a sentence about what you're doing, because I think it's fascinating. I have no idea about a situation about a doctor who does an early retirement and then moves into mentor coaching, but what are you up to?
Well, let me say that it wasn't exactly an early retirement, and there is a fairly lengthy story there. But when I did get to the point where I was certain that there was no alternative but for me to retire, I was invited to go into partnership with a woman that I've known for a while. She has a background in nursing, but has an MBA and has worked in that area in healthcare for quite a number of years. But in any case, she has asked me to assist to join her in a startup business for the purpose of coaching physicians, primarily aimed at younger physicians who find themselves in a world unlike the one that I started in, where you were your own boss, you were in charge of everything. Physicians nowadays are frequently an employee of someone, usually a hospital or an enormous multi-specialty organization. And when that happens, they can find that the corporate structure really puts unbearable limits on their ability to do what they want to do, and that is be good physicians. So we think our company is going to be a valuable resource for helping physicians that are having difficulty navigating that territory. And the thing that I had to offer as I came into the call, Dave, was to just give you a little self-confession about how transformative this has been for me, especially my relationship with CTA. 44 years as a surgeon, surgery is a very solitary sort of undertaking, and learning how much better I can perform and other possibilities that are open to me by becoming a part of a group that has really been refreshing in a way that's hard for me to express, so I appreciate that.
Well, thank you very much for sharing that, and your testimonial check is in the mail, my man, so congratulations on your transition. And
thank you very much.
To hear how it goes, and when you guys launch, send a link or just send what you'd like us to look at, and I'll include it in a group email because it may be of interest to some people for a referral or other reasons. So thanks for bringing that up, Randy, and and welcome to your first-time mentor group.
Thank you.
Yeah. Who else?
Well, hi, this is Steve Morfesis over in New York City.
Hey,
and,
how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Great.
I'm loving everything that I'm reading and on the online workshops, and I've been applying it to my day-to-day. I work in human resources in an advertising agency, and I am working on building my coaching practice. And one of the things that was hugely beneficial to me is changing my perspective, because I have a colleague, very small department, and I have a colleague who I work in HR, so compliance is a big thing for me. And she doesn't, she's behind on all of the files by about 3 months, and shops online half the day and doesn't keep up with things. It's comical if it were on a television show, but it's stressful. And I'm always, bringing things to her attention. She's saying, oh, we have new hires today. I'm like, well, yes, if you look at our system here, you can see who's starting. But I used to get very frustrated by going through all of these corrections and the fear of things being non-compliant. And then I finally learned to let go through the studying, because I realized the team above me put her in this role. It's not a role that she's really suited for, but that's not her fault. She is accountable for her behavior and her actions. But the fact that her manager doesn't hold her accountable and supports her in what she does, I can't get upset with her for that. I'm accountable for all of the work overall, whether it's done or not, so I have to find my ways to accomplish it. But it really helped me in the relationship with her and how I address things, because I stopped looking at it as, what she is doing or not, and she's not incompetent. She's a bright person. She just does what she wants. But it really helped my stress level to really understand where it was all coming from. And I've spoken to her manager many times. They just don't know what to do. She doesn't know what to do with her, because she's a challenging person. So I correct everything as best I can. But it's helped the relationship, because I used to project onto her what I thought all of her shortcomings were. So it's helped me understand better. And it's also helped me, I think, find another job, which is also good.
Okay. Well, with the extra time and energy you have with letting go, you might consider really writing a TV script with her as protagonist. So how is your practice going, Steve?
The coaching practice, I've been doing a lot of it. I don't have a lot of independent clients. I do a lot of it at the moment here at the agency I work in. And that has really been a thrill, too, because I've been able to really help people who've been having problems communicating with their managers, or vice versa, managers with them, and getting to the heart of it and talking about, well, what is your goal? You're talking about you want to be here. How do you intend to get there? What is your plan? What are your goals? What is your strategy? And then I can do the same with the manager. And that's really helped me to, I think, help a few people thrive at their jobs, and a few hold on to their jobs as well, because that level of communication has become so clear, and there's not the same antagonism. That has been really uplifting and wonderful.
That sounds in itself, if it is of interest to you, as a niche, as either an internal or external coach specializing in HR managers and communication. So think about what you want to do with that, because you've developed a very interesting momentum.
I love it. I've actually written out chapters. I've bullet pointed everything for myself, and I have a series of chapters on how to navigate from sending out your resume and follow-up, because I've done a lot of recruiting as well, and people follow up, some in a very appropriate way, and others in a little too they can be a little too aggressive, they don't realize. So I've actually outlined a book that I really have to schedule myself to sit down and write. And it's all about from entry level, but even probably entry to mid-level specifically, how to navigate the corporate world and how to communicate, and in a very safe way, how to be thorough and protect yourself by, you know, by proper follow-up and documentation. Because I've seen a few people get into trouble by not keeping an email that they should have that authorized them to do something, for example.
That sounds terrific, to really develop a following with that and do something in a parallel way to enhance that following, to be ready when you publish, or to enhance your practice like a blog or something, or and something that will really develop your platform, the number of people who follow you and are eager to hear what you have to say next, and you get feedback about what's helpful and what's not, and it goes back and forth in a beneficial way for both sides. So thanks for the for the update.
Great. Thank
that's
you.
Great. Yeah. Super, who else? Let's move then. If nobody else has a win, a progress note, or an update, or just wants to say hi, he said nudgingly. Naomi, let's go back to your challenge to just succinctly give us a capsule of that and what kind of question you have to put to our group that would be of help to you.
Well, thanks for the opportunity to share. I am, as I said, I'm writing this book and I'm talking about the self-defeating mindset, and it's called Check Your Chicken because I use the analogy of the chicken and the eagle. And so basically looking at our past and how we've chosen the stories that we create to survive through some of those instances. And so what I was really trying to look at was that some of the behaviors, and the behaviors are listed in the form of a chicken menu. So looking at the behaviors, so like when we talk about boundaries, having healthy boundaries, that's chicken and gravy, because gravy is all over the place. And so how we need to keep it. So that's the kind of analogy that I'm working with. But what I would like to pose to the group is how to be able to teach that without teaching the entire neuroscience, you know, to make it simple, but so that they would understand it, but it's kind of like the beginning of a neuroscience. So without, I do have like one section that I did try to talk about how the brain and it works and how we create these stories. But I guess I'm looking at how would be the best way to put that in a format in a book that would be simple but make the point, be able to come across.
So you want to bring alive the principles in the focus that you have and not do a parallel teaching about the mind
yes.
sciences, but just
yes. looking at
in,
the principles.
What you
exactly.
Do. So what's an example of something that's worked that you can present the group with, and then what's the challenge that's next that you maybe haven't quite figured out? I want us to get a better feel for your style. If you could just succinctly in a sentence or two give an example of how you've done that to bring it alive and illustrate a point, and then what's the challenge?
Okay, so let's see. I would say okay, so like say looking at the one that I was just talking about, not having healthy boundaries. So I talked a little bit about, you know, chicken and gravy, how when gravy is on your plate, it is all over the place and it'll sometimes overpower the flavor of the food that you may be eating. You know, and I use the analogy that if it were on a paper plate, it can kind of soak through. So I said that if you have too much gravy, it can oversaturate the chicken and change the texture. So I looked at thriving and surviving. So, you know, from your going from a thriving point of view to a surviving point of view, if you don't have clear boundaries, people will be in your life and impose their wills and demands.
Okay. So how are you wanting to apply that in another area that you feel a little bit stuck? Is that a good next step?
Yes. So I have the analogy kind of together, but then it's now how would I really show the principle of what to do.
Let me interrupt you. I want to say again, because someone may not have been on the line. If you're walking around with a headset or making any movement where you're sitting, your microphone is picking up ambient noise or creating noise. So unless you're ready to talk, if you would do mute, because you're not hearing it, but we are. So go ahead, Naomi. Sorry to interrupt you.
No, that's okay. So in describing the analogy of how it works and what the problem of not having healthy boundaries, I'm looking at how do I transition that into then taking that into what they would need to do, I guess. It would be, I guess that's where I'm stuck at, is what would be the direction that I want to go? Okay, I can describe what it's like to not have healthy boundaries, but now how do I transition that into saying, okay, well, now I had looked at maybe telling my own story, but I said that just was too long because there's 13 chickens. So that could just be too long. But, you know, how do I incorporate the principle of changing? What principle of changing your mindset would be needed there?
Okay. All right. What do you think, group? What's your first impression? Usually first impressions are from the emotional part of the brain, then we make it make sense. So give us first impressions.
Hi, Naomi.
This is Joe.
Oh, go ahead, Joe.
Naomi, go ahead. Ladies first. Go ahead.
Oh, this is Kristen in Colorado Springs. You were using the analogy of the gravy all over the plate and saturating everything. I guess one suggestion would be, because those boundaries need to be a little bit more set in stone, you could roll into the mashed potatoes with the gravy bowl where it's a contained situation, to give the analogy of where you're going about how strong those boundaries need to be if somebody's rolling into something that is ethically not okay with you, but you let the behavior continue so you can roll in. Does that make sense? To kind
yes.
of keep the food going and the humor going with it, to show how strong that boundary really does need to be for their own health, self-care, and benefit.
Thank
so
you, yes.
To roll into that.
Thanks. Go ahead, Joe. What you got, my man?
Yes. Hi, everybody.
Oh.
Yes. For me, two things that I thought about. The first recommendation is that I think you should use your own story, because who better to tell what you're trying to relate to something that you can relate to, and just break it down like you would, like a standard operating procedure or something like that. I'm a retired military veteran, so I understand, breaking down systems. So that's one. That's my recommendation, that you do use your own story. And the second thing is, I'm a diabetic, so I have to portion control how I eat. So what I had to end up doing is taking all my normal plates that we in Americans use, the big old plates and everything on one, and just like I said, mixing the gravy up with the chicken and the mashed potatoes and things like that. I went out to Walmart and got the children plates that is broken up into the small portion, containers. And that's how I learned to portion control how to eat and what to eat. So that's what I was thinking, is that in the same manner, talk about how do you separate the gravy from the mashed potatoes, from the chicken, and from with other items that you have on that plate. And so basically, once again, go back to standard operating procedures, breaking it down into systems. You put the mashed potatoes in this portion. You put the gravy here. And with those dividing lines, it doesn't get mixed up. So that's just my initial thought.
Thank you.
All right. Great. Who else?
This is Lisa Manyoki.
Hey, yeah. How are you?
Hi. I'm sorry. I came in a little bit late, but I heard the story. I didn't catch your name, the author. Who's speaking?
Naomi.
Hi, Naomi. Okay. Here's the thing.
Hi, Lisa.
If you have your story with your analogy is really great because it makes hard to understand concepts really simple to make very fast sense. So think about in a book, you know, he said, she said. You could answer this question in a layout issue by, for example, make your analogy, which is really colorful and creative, and then have a little section right underneath it that says what the brain does or what the brain says. So you can introduce more complex, clinical, here's what's actually happening, which gives the analogy some clinical substance or some neuroscience weight.
Mm.
If you tell your story, it becomes more autobiographical and may be entertaining and could relate to somebody who's in similar shoes as yours. But if you want to make it almost a teaching type of initiative by using an easy-to-understand analogy and lining it with a more clinical process, nothing too heavy-duty, then it could be more relevant to a wider audience.
Like you said,
okay,
brain
Jersey woman,
and then you
do an analogy to the live presentation you just did to fill us in on that, and is anything applicable for Naomi's situation?
You mean the one I just did this last week?
Yes.
Yeah. There's a group here that decided to do a takeoff on TED Talks strictly basically on inspiration. And the topic, you know, the field was highly relevant, but or very specific to inspiration, but wide open as far as topic. So in mine, I actually used the story of a Twilight Zone episode because the focus was on the importance of understanding yourself and what you put out there so that you can make sense of the inside and align it with what you put on the outside, which is presence. So I actually used a Twilight Zone episode about a guy who had a really crappy day and his guardian angel appeared and offered to him to relive the day. But he had to give up all the things he liked best in order to get the trappings of success. And when he did, he was really miserable. So in one paragraph, I used this lighthearted story that was relatable and anybody who had seen Twilight Zone got it. But then I beefed it up with the realities of, I talked about the power of your brain, that your brain had muscle and that it would steer you toward the path of least resistance with a lot of power until you defied it. So it was peppered with, and I even told the Milton Erickson story of when he carved his path in the snow and how everybody followed him at the end of the day, and related that, you know, it's a light story, but there was then it followed by some more substantive clinical examples of what actually goes on in the brain. And it was really well received.
Those are terrific examples. Thanks for sharing that.
Thank you.
Sure.
Anyone else want to give Naomi some feedback or ideas? One thing I hear the theme developing, Naomi, is that you know that stories are the way we make sense of things, the way we understand, and the way we remember, because it involves both sides of the brain, the emotional engagement and then the conceptual ideas, and putting that together, it's balanced learning. But you don't have to do any of that teaching when you tell a story. And the three components of a story, as we've discussed before, the challenge, the development, and the resolution can be a part of every story that you tell. So it can be, as Lisa suggested, anything from the Twilight Zone to, you know, dead hypnotherapists to your current stories that illustrate it. But you probably want to balance it up so it's not all about one or the other. And you tell a story, and then you tell the point of the story, and that's how you engage people. Every story, and Stephen King taught us this about a story before we knew it from neuroscience. He said the one thing keeps somebody, and your cough, as well as if you begin to trip and spill your coffee and curse, that will be picked up on the microphone. So if either are about to happen, would you mute? Stephen King said the one thing that keeps people reading a book, which also is the reason that a book is a bestseller or a non-seller or is even published, is the reader must want to know and ask the question, not consciously, of course, what happens next? That's what engages someone, because that's what activates dopamine, when we anticipate what happens next. So you have that component of a story going, and that engages someone to then develop the story and build in the principle in the resolution, so that the story in itself is a complete teaching tool, so you don't have to do sidebars of what neuroscience, as you know, some of us tend to do, sidebars of what neuroscience teaches about this. You can just incorporate it into the story of your presentation. And I
like that.
Yeah, I know each of you have probably heard me say this redundantly. The best preparation that I've had for the presentation component of workshops, retreats, or just keynotes is the audio, the CD of TED Talks by Chris Anderson, the founder of TED. And the reason I like the audio is he reads it and he gives illustrations from different TED Talks that have worked and ones that haven't worked. And it's all on one CD, but it's the entire book, and it's really excellent. It's the best single compilation that I've seen about doing presentations, and we're each doing presentations, even if we're just talking to somebody. So, and remember, we talked about the three story components a couple of mentor groups ago when we talked about making a recommendation for mentor coaching, and that final 2 or 3 minutes of a consultation call or a sample session, having those three components as your recommendation for a professional coaching. So thanks for that, and thanks for all the input. Those are super ideas.
Yes, thank you, everybody. It really did help, you know, to try to even put a little combination of my story and maybe even help how I can tell the story so that it's not burdensome, but makes sense.
And if you look at any nonfiction book, and if you have a brick-and-mortar bookstore where you are, or you can probably see the first chapter online, any bestseller that's worth its salt and that's doing fairly decent, above the line of 4,237,000 on Amazon, chapter one begins a story. And probably the introduction does too. And that story engages the reader. And if it's in the introduction and by the author, that lets the reader know what kind of journey you're about to engage in together, because it's in the voice and the experience of the author and how that author engages the reader. And the story, a story, is probably the most engaging thing that you can do to begin a presentation or any piece of writing. So who else? Any other? We've got just over 10 minutes. What other challenges do any of you have?
Dave, yes. Could I just ask you to give me the information on where to find that Chris Anderson talk for information?
Anything I do now, and because I'm lazy, Amazon. it's called TED Talks, TEDTALKS, by Chris Anderson, and I'm recommending the CD version.
Okay.
Because it has some live clips from examples, and he's gotten pretty good at presenting himself, but he gives great examples of what works and what doesn't work, mostly what works, and some recommendations and that sort of thing.
Thank you.
It's really, I mean, before the last, you know, workshops and retreats I've done, I've listened to it 2 or 3 times going back and forth to my ranch. I mean, just to kind of get in the inspired mood to do things. What else? What you got?
Hi, this is Jerry.
Jerry, go ahead, and then we'll come back. I didn't hear who else. Go ahead, Jerry.
Yeah, just quickly. Yeah, I was just kind of throwing out if anybody has some exciting updates on their marketing strategy, on getting the word out for your retreats, or, you know, what tactical elements are you using? Are you using advertising, social media, anything? I'm just curious to see how people are using their marketing uses or working with it.
Well, chime in, colleagues. What you got? That's a great question. Just a succinct bullet of whatever works for you or what you wouldn't recommend.
Well, you know what? Let me zoom in quicker, a little bit more narrow then. In social media, Facebook, Instagram, Pinterest, Twitter, have you used any of those? You have. What's your success with them in particular? Which one? We'll just narrow it to social media.
Hi, this is Erica, and I would say for me, Instagram seems to be more resonant with my audience, although I also feel like I don't want to be a one-trick pony either, so I know there are more avenues that I need to follow up with, but again, I'm kind of in the same boat, is where to go from there. So it seems to be working with me pretty well, but I would definitely like to expand, you know, the potential of, you know, other avenues, so for whatever that's worth.
Yeah, and this is Naomi. Social media is just hard, but it does present Instagram, and I've been finding great connections on LinkedIn. My LinkedIn, surprisingly, has done much better. I was really putting a lot more effort into the Facebook, but Facebook is they've done so many changes that it really has not translated into money or people signing up, but I'm finding that the LinkedIn and Instagram, using the story, because people can just look at it, see what you're talking about, and it's just a few seconds, that seems to be working. So using the story portion of Instagram and or Facebook.
This is Stephen. One thing I've noticed, and this comes from my performance background in when I'm promoting a show, so I haven't used it as much for coaching yet, but as I'm using Facebook and Instagram, being consistent has really helped, and just giving a lot of information throughout to build that following so people keep coming back. So when I have something, like for me in the past, it's been a show. When I've had that to offer, I have the audience already there because they're reading other posts prior.
This is Joe. I have three things. For the TED Talk, I purchased the TED Talk audiobook from the Apple Bookstore, and it worked out great for me. So that I recommend that as well as Amazon to get that. And two things, LinkedIn, like what Naomi said, is a great place. And there's a book by Gary Vee that talks about LinkedIn and promoting yourself there. And the other thing is what I've been reading lately is Facebook Messenger using the mini bots. I'm not too familiar with it. I'm just reading up on it. So you may want to check that out. That people using Messenger, Facebook Messenger, as their branding on site to go to now.
And this is Lisa. Really, really important on this one is know where your audience goes, because all of the social media venues are important and effective if your audience uses them. People who use LinkedIn often don't use one or more of the others. Secondly, if you have an autoresponder type software, you can push your messages out to multiple social media resources with a button push, and then you can better gauge where people are responding or where the messages back to you are originating. And last, social media market is flooded and it's getting more expensive to advertise. So the more intimacy you can introduce to your marketing initiative, whether by speaking, chamber events, local networking, where you, the person, even if you don't like it, higher level intimate visibility is becoming almost an essential to scream above the noise of social media.
Thank you, Lisa. I really, I believe that's the route I'm taking. I'm going to be doing a lot of speaking engagements, but then it's pushing the word out where I'm going to be. I mean, I'll have an author website, and I will, I'm only focused on the author website.
Mm-hmm.
I'll use LinkedIn from a professional standpoint to say that I'm an author, but then I'll be using Instagram and Facebook. We felt like I am working with somebody that I worked with when I was in the shopping center world. We did social media for big developments of malls. And the thing that I have to kind of recreate in my mind is I'm one person and I'm one brand right now. I'm not a big development shopping center, you know. So it's kind of Dr. Kruger. I could use some mental switching of gears, you know, to taking my past life into my future life, because my husband's going to kill me. If he keeps on saying, that's not you anymore. You know, I was this corporate person. I was a vice president of marketing, believe it or not. And now I'm an entrepreneur and I'm a writer and I want to be a speaker out there on the circuit and use all the gifts that I have to do that. And my book does have a very strong message. So it's taking the book and using it out as a business platform. But I do it through story. I don't want to be Naomi, I had the same crossroads, you know, should I make it, you know, should I try to explain myself in it? No, I decided not to. It's a memoir. So you're going to read it like a novel, and you're going to take away from it what you, you know, what you personally are going to take away. It's going to be different for every single person that reads the book, and that's my hope. But the social media part is, it's like, you know, I have all these options, and I need to narrow it down to who my audience is, which really is where I'm at right now. But I just thought I'd throw it out there to see if anybody has, in the coaching realm, you know, what's been most successful for them.
Great questions and great feedback. And what I hear is a theme of develop your platform, whether that's business media like LinkedIn, very important because they do blogs and they do anything you post there. And it can be set up where when you do a blog, it automatically is posted on all of the above with a link to your blog. And that is a way that you can offer content and develop a following. And when you have a new product or service, you can simply add a sentence at the bottom with a link to where someone can sign up for that. So you want to develop a following. And what you do then is, as Lisa mentioned, find out who you want to do, who to be a follower, and look at developing that. But when you develop, for example, a blog, you develop a body of knowledge, but also you develop followers because people sign up for your blog and it automatically goes to the email box. They don't have to think about going to your website, and you don't have to market something specifically to them, which they may or may not open, when it's part of, you know, an addendum to a blog. So all of those sound really important. And many of you have heard, I have had coaches who I've trained who do an announcement on, say, Facebook in olden times of opening their practice in professional coaching and offering a free sample session to get an idea of what it would be like to work together. And I've had as many as two dozen people sign up for a particular coach in the first 48 hours. So think about who you're addressing and how to do that, as has been mentioned. So great points. We've got just thanks for all of this feedback. I want to mention something to you that may address sort of some of the things that we've been talking about. You received the last of the three ebooks that are text and audio, flip books that are text and audio in the neuromarketing series. Now, that link, the publisher tells me, will only be active for a limited time. So use it or lose it. And my publisher, Van Buren Publishing, will be releasing three ebook series, those three on neuromarketing, collectively very soon. Each are flip books with text and audio, and I negotiated with them for an affiliate possibility for you to offer this series to your platform and receive 50% of the $97 sale price for all three books together. I'll be sending that information about how to sign up if you're interested for that very shortly, as well as a direct link to where you can purchase it. I'm sorry I can't offer all three to you as they're not on my server, but the publisher's server. You've seen in the two previous mentor groups, you've seen rough drafts of those ebooks without the audio. This last one is as it's going to be with audio and as a flip book. So that's a possibility if you're interested, and I'll be communicating that to you as well very shortly. Send me anything you'd like to send around to our group, any notices or heads up about any programs, publications, and I'll include it in a note along with the publication, the recording link for our group today. So thank you all very much, and I'm sorry we didn't have time to hear from more of you, but I really appreciate your energy and investment in this, and if there's anything I can do, I hope you let me know. Thanks so much for all of the energy and input today. To be continued.
Thank you, Dave.
See you guys.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.